Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with West Point grad Dr. John Hughes. He's the head of an organization called the MacArthur Society, a bunch of concerned West Pointers. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Diane Raver will review the movie of the month. And of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome back fellow West Pointer who's with us last week, a fellow combat guy, was an infantryman, was a doctor, and an author. John's done a lot for life. He's published a great book we talked about last week, but he is the chair of the MacArthur Society, a group of West Point grads who are very concerned about West Point. So welcome, John.
Well, thank you very much, Danny. It's a privilege to be here.
John, as a quick review, you went to West Point because that was sort of a family tradition. Am I right?
Correct, Danny. I graduated class of 96. My grandfather, who was a World War II bomber pilot, graduated there. My father went there, and my two sisters went there, and I actually married an Air Force Academy graduate as well. So.
Goodness gracious, an Air Force Academy grad. Well, I guess we can put up with that. As long as
well, it's okay. My grandfather was one of the first people to cross over into the Air Force.
John, what's your concern? I know that I started noticing, I don't know how many years ago, that West Point wasn't sticking to just positive American values. I don't worry about political and other kind of stuff, but it just started looking and smelling a little funny. You apparently noticed that and then dug into it. Talk to us about what bothered you and what you've done about the West Point culture, which has changed significantly. I mean, right now, I don't recommend anybody go to West Point.
Yeah, Denny, it's kind of a complicated course. So I come from a long line of West Point graduates, warriors who defended our country. It was a natural thing. If you want to be an officer as a young high school kid, West Point, it's a no-brainer. It's where you need to go. And I graduated from there at a time where most of my classmates and some of our, well, actually most of the faculty over there did what they were supposed to be doing, inspiring our younger graduates not only to serve the nation, but to win wars. And so from there, a few years later, I spent a very large percent of my active duty time deployed in war. And I worked for West Pointers over there. And things began to grate on me even back in the war. A lot of the 3 and 4 stars in charge were West Point graduates. And in my book, I catalog that what I saw on the ground, what they were saying, how the war was actually going, there was a dichotomy there that would not have passed snuff under the honor code of West Point. And that began to grate at me. One of the first issues where I began to become aware of what was actually going on was back in 2013. So I kept a diary of the war over there, but I just kept my head down and soldiered on like everybody else did. But in 2013, on my last deployment to Afghanistan, an event happened that shook my confidence in West Point. As you recall, Lieutenant General Huntoon, who was the superintendent, retired, but it was under very suspicious circumstances because he had an unfavorable IG report for ethics violations. And to me, the superintendent, I've always held, perhaps it was unfair, but I always held that individual onto a pedestal. And I always joke to others, they're the equivalent of having Jesus in the military. They should be the most ethical person in uniform in any branch of the military. And here we are having one getting investigated for ethical violations, and actually I'm found guilty. I'm posted online. And so from there, I kind of soldiered on for a few years, but it came to a head actually in 2022. I was working an ER shift late 2 in the morning, and I got an email from the superintendent, then Lieutenant General Williams, and he was discussing the cocaine scandal in Florida. And that one actually caught me by a huge surprise. I mean, I know cadets who come there are from society, and the point of West Point is to weed out those who are unfit. So I know folks are going to have honor violations, they're going to break the law. But the manner in which that came out is an attempt to silence the long gray line and not to speak about it. And then the cover-up that ensued, I've had friends who have sent many Freedom of Information Act requests to get the outcome of those cadets to see what actually happened has been blocked and rebuffed. And then I began to dig deeper, and I saw a lot of other ethical and moral violations, and in many cases, honor and criminal violations. And I wrote a letter about it. It was an open letter about 1.5 years ago, and I had a whole bunch of folks contact me with similar concerns. And out of this, over the course of the next year, a bunch of us coalesced into a nucleus where we decided something needed to be done about it. Many, many folks, to include retired 2 and 3 star generals even, had tried to contact the soup and the dean, and they were getting rudely blocked. And it isn't just us, it's the other service academies as well. But to stay in our lane, the academy was not being transparent anymore with this crisis going on. And oh, by the way, in the background, we had just lost our second long war, and there were a lot of ethical shortcomings from the general officers, many of which who were West Point winners. So when you connect the dots of what's going on at West Point, but the purpose of West Point doesn't exist for itself. It exists to lead our military and win its wars. And so you have general officers, grads, years down the road, who are at best being disingenuous with the truce, and at worst case, outright lies and self-serving behaviors. It just became untenable.
You know, I totally see what you're saying. To me, the grossest thing was when we did this abandonment of Afghanistan. I would have expected every general officer involved to have said, no, we're not going to do it, and if you force me to, I'll resign. But not one did, and not one has even apologized for what was the most disastrous abandonment of people and high-tech equipment in maybe the history of the world. How could you be a person of integrity and play that game? That's where I come in. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Oh, indeed, Danny. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I've actually kind of got like a mental term for it, and somebody may have used this term as well, but I call it toxic loyalty. It's an interesting phenomenon. So when this group began to form, we began to query others, and very quickly we had about 300 grads of all ages who were interested in joining an organization. And we tried to do things the right way first. We actually tried to be an offshoot of the AOG, and we were rudely rebuffed. I mean, I've even had a personal discussion with the current AOG president. He seems like
an folks, just so you know, AOG is Association of Graduates at West Point.
Yes.
Go ahead, John.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So the current one, Mark Beeger, just took over. He's my ex-brother-in-law's classmate and actually went up there to a conference 2 months ago when I had what I thought was going to be a friendly discussion with him. But I just gave him a heads up and said, look, I've just formed an organization effective June 6th of this year of a few hundred, not only disgruntled, but disenfranchised graduates who feel that not only West Point, but our AUG Association of Graduates is no longer serving the long gray line, which means that our country also is not being served as well at the same point. And I said that West Point right now and the AUG seems to become an organization focused on fundraising. That was not the original intent. In 1869, it was formed to unite with grads who had fought on both sides of the Great War so that they could rekindle friendships that were lost. Sometime in the 80s, that has changed. It is now a fundraising entity for the football team and can trace a lot of the issues West Point has and the watering down of the regulations, discipline, and the honor code to the morphing of the emphasis on the football team. And I have a lot of friends who are football players here, and I don't want to in any way, shape, or form say that they're evil in any way. But I'm saying that the organization, the way it's looked to boost the abilities of the football team has some huge implications. But then when you take it even further, and I've had folks ask me, hey, are these guys Marxists? And I don't think so, but I think it's weakness. And this goes back to, just as you said, how can we fight a war for 20 years, 2,448 deaths prior to the Abbey Gate blast, and not a single general, and many of them who were West Pointers, is able to live up to the West Point cadet prayer of to do the harder right over the easier wrong. The harder right was for them to sacrifice their career. 2,448 men and women of all races, genders, orientations, however you want to classify them, sacrificed everything for their country to include their lives. And yet generals who are already made men and women, they have pensions, they're going to get their retirements, and unless they do something illegal, at worst, they'll be forced to retire. But they could at least retire with honor, saying that they spoke up about what was going wrong in the military. And then we see that same weakness going to West Point, where we had a huge political shift, obviously, with our last election. And I don't think that General Gilland is an avowed Marxist. And as I tell folks, look, these guys who are up there now are the same guys I was a lieutenant, captain, and major with eons ago. And I don't think they're Marxists, but I think they're weak. Weak as in they chase stars, and they chase also, and you have something other than a patriotism guiding the 3- and 4-star generals when you have 80% upon retirement working for the boards for the huge military industrial corporations in the United States. And wow. I think all of this is not an accident when you connect the dots on everything going on. So in short, we had a small group of about a dozen concerned graduates who formed an organization ranging from captains who got out after 5 years to retired 3-star generals. And so we formed the MacArthur Society of West Point Graduates. If you Google it, you can find our webpage. We're doing a huge overhaul of the webpage. The domain is going to change soon. And we just got approved as a 501c3. And our mission is very, very clear. It is to preserve, defend, and advocate for West Point's history, purpose, and principles of duty, honor, country. If that was followed by West Point, the debacle in Afghanistan would have never happened. The politicians ended the wars, but the generals in charge wouldn't have been as what I perceived as self-serving to cheerlead the politicians and just to look the other way as we planted more and more men and women in the ground for, at the end of the day, no reason at all, in my view.
Well said. And folks, if you have any trouble getting hold of the MacArthur Society, contact me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'll plug in because I'm involved. John, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to share that information. Thank you for your service to our country in uniform and in now. God bless you, brother. We're partners.
Well, thank you very much, Danny. It was an honor to be on your show. And you sell yourself short. You're also a very accomplished grad and a patriot and a combat veteran as well, I may say.
Hey, we are. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to do some knee bends, go halfway down, do 40, do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time, and I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, brother. We had an interesting week, didn't we?
Denny, very similar to last week, and where we had two Service Academies with victories and one with a defeat.
And this was not a good week for the Carolinas. Army beat Coastal Carolina and Navy beat East Carolina.
How ironic, Denny. You are so right. That is. And I tell you what, it is a real testament to the, you know, the fact that you've got to play the season out. Both Army and Navy have struggled in the early part of the season, but have seemingly found some traction as we move towards November. And as they say, the games in November are the games to remember.
Amen.
Yes, let's start with Army, Denny, as they sport a three-game winning streak, beginning with the victory at Air Force, and then going home and securing two victories against Holy Cross and most recently Coastal Carolina, 28-21. It was a beautiful day in Mikey Stadium, as about 30,000 fans lined the stadium to view the Black Knights and take on the victory on another senior day. As the Black Knights saw 33 seniors that they were able to send off with a victory. Army set the tone for the day offensively, scoring on its first two drives of the game, running 28 plays, all rushes, for 155 yards. As a team, they rushed for 365 yards on the day on 62 attempts. Tyson Riley led the charge, eclipsing 100 yards for the second time in his career. And quarterback Bryson Daly added 94 yards on 22 carries. Denny, it has been since Bryson Daly came back in the Air Force game and came back healthy, the Army offense has really regained its identity as a running team. They have absolutely stopped throwing for over 100 yards a game and committed to the run. And they look like the Army of old. When we look at the tail of the tape, we're able to see Army was able to amass 384 yards of total offense to 365. But more importantly, they were able to almost double up Coastal Carolina with 39 minutes of total time of possession to Coastal Carolina's 21 minutes. And that just makes the difference. That is what we are used to seeing, and that is the winning formula. Again, you have to play the games out, and that's what we have seen with Army as they have. I mean, they had a five-game losing streak, Denny, but after UMass, which was a bad loss, they really regained their form against Air Force and have gone on a three-game winning.
Yep, they're doing well. And Navy didn't do bad either, did they?
No. Another big victory, as you said, Denny. The Navy defense was dominant in a 10-0 win over East Carolina. When you talk about 10-0, you have to start with the defense. The Navy defense shut out an opponent for the third time this year. While the offense did just enough to secure the win, 10-0 over East Carolina in front of 28,000 fans on senior day at Navy Marine Corps Stadium. The three shutouts are the most in the football bowl subdivision this year and the most by a Navy team since 1978. The Mids came up with 4 turnovers on the day and did not allow East Carolina to go over the 100-yard mark for total offense until late in the fourth quarter. As we said, the offense did just enough by scoring a touchdown in the first quarter and adding a field goal in the fourth quarter to lock the victory in for Navy as they move to 5-5 on the season and 4-3 in the American Athletic Conference. Hats off to Coach Newberry. They really struggled. They have also found their quarterback at Xavier Arline, who is who they are going to go with the rest of the year. Again, offensively, they have not totally cracked the code, but they are well on their way.
They are. And Air Force lost to UNLV, but they didn't lose by much. That was a tight game, wasn't it?
Denny, it indeed was. You know, Air Force has really been struggling with some timely injuries to their quarterback, Zach Larrier. Michelle, the fullback, was out as well. And so Air Force was down a couple of big bullets. And UNLV is a good team. They brought a 8-2 record into the game and left with a 9-2 record overall, 6-1 in the Mountain West as Air Force dropped the game 31-27. To UNLV. They were 8 yards away from a go-ahead touchdown with less than a minute to go in the game. And Jensen Jones tried to connect with John Bouchard, but it was not to be as the pass dropped, fell harmlessly to the ground, and UNLV was able to celebrate the victory. Dylan Carson led the Falcons with 104 yards on 16 rushes, and Johnny Lee Eldridge had a 55-yard touchdown run in the second quarter, and Owen Burke added 65 yards on 13 carries. It was really a back-and-forth game as UNLV jumped out ahead early, but it was Air Force who then took a commanding first-half lead into the half. But in the third quarter, UNLV really came out. Air Force led 27-14 at the half. UNLV really poured it on, and Air Force was just not able to generate the offense needed as UNLV was able to post 17 unanswered points in the second half to pull away with the 31-27 victory.
Yes, sir. And Merchant Marine was played at Washington and Jefferson. How'd that go?
Denny, the Merchant Marine Academy traveled to Washington and Jefferson in Washington, Pennsylvania to play Washington and Jefferson and unfortunately came up short 46-21. It dropped Merchant Marine Academy to 7-3 overall. Still a tremendous season, 5-2 in the conference. So Merchant Marine had a very good season this year. I think their season ends there. But I tell you what, you know, they really showed up big time this year.
Amen. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football. Okay, this weekend, Army's got a bye. Navy's at SMU. That should be a tough game, shouldn't it?
Yes, Denny, it will be. It's going to be a very difficult game as SMU is a talented team. They've got a winning record, and they're playing good football. Navy is finding its traction. They're finding their identity with Xavier Arline at quarterback. If they can continue to control the ball, make few mistakes, that's the winning formula.
Indeed. And Air Force at Boise State. You guys are sort of rivals, aren't you?
Tough game, Denny. Tough game. Whenever you go to the Blue Smurf turf, it's going to be a tough game. And there's no difference here as Air Force is still in the running to win the Mountain West Divisional Championship and to go to the championship game. They need this game. I don't know if Zach Larrier will play or not, but hopefully he will. But regardless of who goes out on the field, Falcons have to buckle their chin straps and find a way to win.
Yes, sir. And we'll be cheering for him to do just that. Thank you, Quentin. We'll be back at it again next week. Have a great week, brother. I look forward to working with you again.
Hey, likewise, Denny, you do the very same.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for the movie of the month. So, of course, we're going to be joined by our great team member, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. Glad you're joining us again.
Hi, Denny. It's always an honor and privilege to be with you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share the enrichment of independent films that we present each month.
Well, ever since we met and decided to work together, we have been able to do all kinds of good things. And usually it involves sharing a movie that people probably wouldn't have otherwise seen. Okay. I presume you're staying busy, even though the festival's not until next March. You're getting ready to start doing some analysis, or are you already doing that?
Oh, well, we've watched the films. Now we have to figure out the schedule. Who's in, who's out. It's always very, very, we take it very seriously. And we always have a wonderful event at the end, but getting down to what actually is going to screen is an interesting process.
Yes. And making those kind of decisions is both good and hard, right?
Very hard. It's very hard.
But that just speaks well for our country that there are so many good things to be considered and it's hard to pick the best among them. That's a good sign.
I agree. And remember, these films come from all over the globe, so that's an even more wonderful and enriching and positive thing to think about in these trying times.
Yes, I should have remembered that. Okay, our movie, The 11th Order, was about action in Iraq. This is the story of two young Marines who were killed while defending a position in Iraq. The movie is really the presentation of a video made to tell the story of these two fine young men. The video was shown to a crowd, and the introduction was by Marine General Kelly, whom I know.
Oh.
This is nothing make-believe about this. This is the real thing, and it's a really good example of the kinds of things that happen in combat. So, wow, you picked a real one, lady. You sure
did. Yeah, I know. And again, let's emphasize that whole segment takes place in 6 seconds.
Yes.
Those wonderful young men, I'm going to try not to get emotional, again, into eternity in all of 6 seconds and saved all those people. I mean, what a testament to our fine young men and women in the service.
Yes. So the two Marines were Lance Corporal Jordan Heisler and Corporal Jonathan Yale, and they stood their ground when attacked. They weren't expecting to be attacked. They know it could happen. They were ready, but you're never really ready for something like that to happen. And the question everybody in combat faces is, when that moment occurs, will I react as quickly and as appropriately as I should? And for these two young men, the answer was yes. And wow, I mean, I'm a combat vet, and this thing touched my heart. So let's see what some of the listeners said. Mm-hmm. Begins by a number of friends just talking. Apparently, they're Marines talking about going into combat.
Yeah.
People are just people, guys and gals. They have friends. They talk. That's what happens. I mean, that can be before going into a play football game. I mean, it's just people. Then there are Marines bouncing around in a military vehicle in Iraq. So we know it's not a football game. And they're going somewhere. The general calls the city that they're stationed in, that it was at that time, the most dangerous city on earth.
Oh.
And I believe that because nothing is more dangerous than terrorism, where people don't care about dying. All they want to do is kill you.
Is that an appropriate subject in today's world?
Oh, boy. It certainly is. You know, it certainly is a violation of attacking is one thing, but just wanting to go kill people and happily killing yourself in the process, that's a different set of values than I consider appropriate.
I agree.
So it turns out that these are Marines bouncing around in a military vehicle inside of Iraq. And from their conversation, the breakfast was uncooked hot dogs. That's not particularly appealing, but it beats no breakfast. And apparently, there's a mixture. Apparently, there's some Marines that are, their unit's getting ready to rotate home, and there's a unit that's coming in probably to replace them, and they're breaking them in. That's an appropriate thing to do, and that did happen, does happen, in combat situations. So, reasonably enough, one of the new guys is assigned to work with an experienced guy in manning security post at the entrance to a military facility. That's the logical way to do it. That's normally what happens in things like that. Their position is in a bunker with a window facing the entrance, and there are Iraqi police out there checking civilians. These guys check the Americans. That sounds like a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. You don't have to stop Iraqis who may not speak your language or don't know the culture, that the police are out there doing their thing. This sounds like a well-organized entrance security type thing for entrance. I mean, I couldn't think of a better way to do it.
Yeah, the good news is that the system worked. As tragic as it was, the system worked.
Yes. And they talk a lot, as young men do, and almost all of the conversations include some very rough language. But in my experience, that's very realistic. So the new guy, Jordan, joined the Marines because of 9/11. And that's a lot of people did join the military because of 9/11.
That's right.
The experienced guy, Jonathan, was married and divorced. So they were truly sharing their lives. They were talking with each other. As you'd expect, guys who are, I mean, in my experience, pulling security, like guarding, like they were guarding the main entrance. That's boring. I mean, you could be there 12 hours and have nothing happen. Yet you've got to be alert and ready all the time. And they were doing a good job of that. They were shooting the bull, but their eyes were in the right place. Their weapons were in the right place. They were doing a heck of a good job. And they were doing what most human beings would be doing, kidding and talking with each other. I wouldn't expect anything different, would you?
No, not at all. And again, it speaks to our humanity and bonding in situations like that.
Sure. Then a truck comes around the corner and won't stop for the Iraqi police, who start shooting at it, and then they run. The Marines had about 6 seconds before the truck hit them and exploded, killing both Marines. The Marines were firing during those 6 seconds, which is what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad guys got stopped there. They didn't get into the post that they were protecting. Wow.
Yeah, this is a tragedy, but it's a beautiful tragedy because they saved all those lives.
They did. They were just as good as they could. They couldn't have done better. They were honorable. They did their job. Wow.
And it was heartwarming to see that they were, you know, acknowledged for their yes. and their families for their sacrifice and their good works.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, we're about out of time. The festival is next March. Give us a quick overview.
Okay, it's March 21st through the 24th in Asbury Park in Cranford, New Jersey. We hope you'll come out and visit with us. And again, we look forward to next month, where we're going to show you something a little lighter than this month's selection.
Yes, for which I'm grateful. Thank you, Diane, for being a great member of the Frontlines of Freedom team and for the great movies you find for us. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Denny.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want you Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
The Iraq War is more than 20 years old, and troops are still on the ground in Iraq. But why?
For too long, lawmakers have sent American troops to Iraq and beyond in support of vague missions that don't tie to a vital national interest.
At Concerned Veterans for America, we're translating our unique experiences as veterans to call for a better foreign policy that makes Americans safer and more prosperous.
Visit CVAfrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAfrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press. Reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or by Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Colonel, former Coast Guardsman Harry says if all these nations think the people in Gaza are being badly abused, why don't these nations welcome the Gazan citizens as refugees and care for them?
Harry, you ask a very good question that nobody can answer.
And Sue, proud mom of a Coastie, can't understand why our southern border is still wide open when it's clear that there are terrorists coming across our border.
Sue, no one can explain this because it's totally stupid, wrong, and horrible for our nation. Yuck. Okay, now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, on 1 December 1862, during the Civil War, President Lincoln addressed Congress and spoke some of his most memorable words as he discussed the Northern war effort. Lincoln used the address to present a moderate message concerning his policy towards slavery. Just 10 weeks before, he had issued his Emancipation Proclamation, which declared that slaves in territories still in rebellion as of January 1, 1863, would be free. The measure was not welcomed by everyone in the North. It met with a considerable resistance from the conservative Democrats who did not want to fight a war to free slaves. The November elections were widely interpreted as a condemnation of the Emancipation Plan. The Democrats won the New York governorship and 34 seats in the House of Representatives, though the Republicans gained 5 Senate seats and maintained control of most state legislatures. Lincoln used the State of the Union address to present a more moderate position on emancipation. He mentioned gradual, compensated emancipation of slaves, which many moderates and conservatives desired, but he also asserted that the slaves liberated thus far by Union armies would remain forever free. Lincoln's closing paragraph was a touching statement on the trials of the time. Quote, "The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. We say we are for the Union. The world will not forget that we say this. We know how to save the Union in giving freedom to the slaves. We ensure freedom to the free, honorable alike in what we give and what we preserve. We shall nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of earth, unquote.
And we might be getting close to losing it now. Oh, well. And on the 30th of November, 1939, during World War II, the Red Army crossed the Soviet-Finnish border with 465,000 men and 1,000 aircraft. Helsinki was bombed, and 61 Finns were killed in an air raid that steeled the Finns for resistance, not capitulation. The overwhelming forces arrayed against Finland convinced most Western nations, as well as the Soviets themselves, that the invasion of Finland would be a cakewalk. The Soviet soldiers even wore summer uniforms despite the onset of the Scandinavian winter. It was simply assumed that no outdoor activity, such as fighting, would take place. But the Helsinki raid had produced many casualties and many photographs, including that of mothers holding dead babies and preteen girls crippled by the bombing. These photos were hung up everywhere to spur on Finn resistance. Although that resistance consisted of only small numbers of trained soldiers on skis and bicycles, fighting it out in forests and partisans throwing Molotov cocktails into the turrets of Soviet tanks, the refusal to submit made headlines around the world. President Roosevelt quickly extended a $10 million in credit to Finland, while also noting the Finns were the only people to pay back the World War I war debt to the United States in full. But by the time the Soviets had a chance to regroup and send in massive reinforcements, the Finnish resistance was spent. By March 1940, negotiations with the Soviets began, and Finland soon lost the Karelian Isthmus, the land bridge that gave access to Leningrad that the Soviets wanted to control.
And on 28 November 1941, the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise departed Pearl Harbor to deliver F-4F Wildcat fighters to Wake Island. This mission saved the carrier from destruction when the Japanese attacked. Thank God for that. We really needed the Enterprise.
We did. On the 29th of November 1947, despite strong Arab opposition, the UN voted for the partition of Palestine and the creation of an independent Jewish state. The modern conflict between Jews and Arabs in Palestine dates back to the 1910s, when both groups laid claim to the British-controlled territory. The Jews were Zionists, recent immigrants from Europe and Russia, who came to the ancient homeland of the Jews to establish a Jewish national state. Both the Legion of Nations and later the UN approved the creation of a Jewish state.
And on 1 December 1959, 12 nations, including the United States and the Soviet Union, signed the Antarctica Treaty, which bans military activity and weapons testing on that continent. It was the first arms control agreement signed in the Cold War period.
And on 30 November 1981, representatives from the United States and Soviet Union opened talks to reduce the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces, INF, in Europe. The talks lasted until December 17th, but ended inconclusively. SALT I in 1972 and SALT II in 1979 reduced the number of strategic nuclear weapons held by the two superpowers, but left unresolved the issue of the growing number of non-strategic weapons, the so-called intermediate-range nuclear missiles, in Europe. By 1976, the Soviets began to update their INF system with both better SS-20 missiles. America's NATO allies called for a U.S. response, and the U.S. threatened to deploy cruise missiles, actually Pershing II missiles, by 1983, if no agreement could be reached with the Soviets concerning INFs. However, by 1981, the situation changed. No nuke forces were gaining strength in Western Europe, and there was growing fear that President Ronald Reagan's heated Cold War rhetoric would lead to a nuclear showdown with Europe as the battlefield. The United States and USSR agreed to open talks on INFs in November of 1981, and they did. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing. And now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a 17-year-old Jonathan Lewis Jr. was brutally beaten to death on November 7th by 15 fellow classmates in an alley near Rancho High School in North Las Vegas, Nevada. Apparently, some of the youth had stolen a pair of headphones from Jonathan's friends, and he approached the other teams in an attempt to get them back for him. A fight broke out, and Jonathan was beaten and kicked to death by the mob of 15 boys. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department has arrested 8 suspects, all teenagers between the ages of 13 and 17. 4 of the teens are facing murder charges and are being held without bail.
Thanks, Colonel. This event is incredibly disturbing, but becoming more and more prevalent in our society. Just do an internet search on violent teens attack, and you'll find thousands upon thousands of articles. There have always been violent teens in the world, but this is different. Something in the world has drastically changed, so we need to be prepared for it and also prepare our children to survive it. First, explain to your children that society has changed. Make them aware that this type of thing does happen and will continue to happen until society gets back on track. 20 years ago, a playground altercation was most likely to end with a fist fight and a bloody nose, but that's no longer the case. Tell your children not to try and go up against a mob, even if their cause is just. A pair of headphones is just not worth dying for. This is part of the reason I homeschool my own kids. Second, all of us need to become spiritually fit. What do I mean by that? Simply this. Any of us can die at any moment. None of us are guaranteed even one more breath of life. Get right with your Maker and return to traditional Judeo-Christian values before it's too late. And finally, let's examine, how did we even get here? This is becoming more common simply because we are teaching our children that God is dead, that life isn't valuable, and that there is no purpose in life beyond selfish pleasure and gain. We've been moving in that direction since the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the 1960s. Do you remember one of the prominent sayings of that era? It went like this: if it feels good, do it. That's a very dangerous life philosophy, and the final outcome of that teaching is predictable. Many teens today have no sense of purpose, no respect for human life, and have become extremely narcissistic. How do we get a loving in a decent society back? It all starts at home and at church. There is hope for the future, but it's going to take years. In the meantime, prepare to defend yourselves and get ready for the long haul, because the ride is about to get very, very bumpy.
I wish you were wrong, Skip, but you're totally right. Our movie of the month is The 11th Order. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, former ambassador and former director of national intelligence Richard Grenell will discuss the situation in Israel and other issues. Veteran Teresa Robinson will discuss women veterans. Veteran Garrett Vell will discuss the American Legion boys' state. And Quentin Roberts will review this weekend's Service Academy football games. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And that's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. It'd be a good Christmas gift. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafreedom.com. That's cvafreedom.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall. Be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.